Today's daf is daf Kuf Lamed Beit, and we finished yesterday the sugya of what to make of a gift to particular people when it deprives the yorshim. So we said that there are many cases where we understand that the purpose of the gift is really only to make the recipient an apotropos, and in context, it's the chashivut that the, let's say, a case where a husband gives his wife everything, b'shat mitato, he certainly doesn't want to deprive his children. He just wants his wife to be in a position of responsibility so that she can have the respect of the family. And we went through a number of different cases. We had a machloket in the end. And one of the cases we spoke about, what if she was an arusa? What if she was a grusha? What about if it's a daughter among sons? What if it's the youngest son? We had a lot of different cases. Now, all of the cases that we were talking about were cases where a man is dying, and therefore we can assume that he is worried about the future of the family relationships. It's not that he's necessarily dealing with the monetary implications. He just figures if the kids are going to have to come to his wife for their allowance, even if they own the property technically, so then that way he's protecting his wife. The question today is, would that be only because of the circumstances that the guy is dying? Or would this be understood also in the case of a matana of a bari? So in other words, yesterday we indeed questioned the mechanisms of a matanat bari. We ended up proving 100%. Makes no difference. It's exactly the same whether the guy was doing this b'shat mitato or he was being b'chalik nechasa b'chayav. We brought a very, very clear raya from the nature of the phrasing of the ketuvah and the whole sugya. But we never discussed whether this particular issue would be different. In other words, the understanding of the intent of a person. We can think that there may very well be a difference between a person's intent to secure the future when he's not going to be around to deal with it is very different from what his intent is in giving a gift when he could himself take care of any family problems. So that's the question. Boy Rava. In the case of a bari, in all the cases that we had yesterday about writing all of your property to someone that we find it very difficult to believe that you want to deprive the family. So how do we understand that? Here. Do we say, b'shriv mira hu denechalei delishtam'un mila? We can understand that if the guy is dying, then he certainly means to make her an apotropos and not to give her the property, because he wants everyone to respect her after his death. But a bari, he's alive, he's there, he can deal with family issues. I mean, why exactly would he be worried at this point? I mean, he can tell them what to do, and he's always in charge anyway.
So therefore, when he gives the gift,
he means it as a gift. What else does he mean? Oh, Dilma, babori nami, nechala delishtamun mila mehashta. Maybe the point over here is that he wants to give her this gift as a bori, even though lamaisa, if it's in the sense of her being an apotropos, it doesn't mean that she really owns anything, but he wants her to be respected now, because as once the kids know that after the father dies, they're going to have to go to mom for an allowance, all of a sudden mom is going to become highly respectable. So Mamela, that's what he wants to achieve. Perhaps. Toshma. See if we can bring a raya from the following. Akotev perot nichasav liishto. Somebody is giving over not the actual karka, but the perot that exists now. Or he might be able to give her a schus in the karka for perot to grow later. Then it's also a schus that's not considered a dover shalom olam and so on. You can assign a particular percentage of a field, which becomes now the actual kinyan in the karka for the tzarek of the peres. So let's say that he gives her over now the perot of his nechasi. So that doesn't mean that because she got the perot, so now she's thinking, okay, fine, so now that is in lieu of whatever rights I had to collect my ketubah. Absolutely not. She takes the perot, and if subsequently he divorces her or he dies, she would be gova ketuvata minakarka. I mean, she still is going to be able to collect. Suppose he gives her now of the perot themselves, or of her particular, he gives her mechta, shlish, revia, not the entire thing. So then she can even be govak tuvata from exactly the same thing that she was given a chelak of. So then that doesn't mean that because she took this, to say that she took that as her chelek, maybe that's all the rights that she has it. I mean, Tosfos asks, I mean, isn't that, it's obvious why is that, that's not a bigger chiddush, it seems to be a lesser chiddush to say that she could collect. He says, no, but that's the whole point. The point is here, of course she can collect from other property. The question over here is, but how about in the thing that she was given rights to? So maybe vis-a-vis that thing, she's saying, okay, I'm taking half. That means I don't intend to take more out of the other half for my ketuvah. So the chiddush is that she can even take from the very same thing that she was given the peirot to. So still, she could be go back to that time, min hashar of those peirot as well. Katav kol nechasav le'ishto. Now here's an interesting case that I'm sure the IRS could make good use of. For some strange reason, the guy writes all of his property to his wife. And of course, a half year later, it turns out that it was all scandalous, that he had invested other people's money, and that really he owed the money, and now she's taken this property, and here comes the IRS with a lien against the property, and taking everything away from her. So now the question is like this. B'shas Maisa, that he gave her the property. So at that moment, so he's giving her everything. So now she's obviously not going to collect with a lien against something that she has. She never said she's mivatarat on her lien. Forget it. That's it. You gave me everything. So then I'm mochela to my lien. But now the question is, it turns out that everything he gave me was taken away from me. So now you could say not only did he try to screw the IRS, he tried to deprive his wife of any rights to get her too. This guy is really in good shape. So Rebbe Eliezer says, no, so what happens in that case where Yotzel of Shtar Chol is Tikara Matanata V'Ta'amod Aktuvata. Basically, forget about it. Rip up the Matana. Say, well, what use is the Matana? But now I'm back where I was. I originally had a lien against these things to collect my ketubah. So now my lien will be on whatever else the guy has or had, where the lien on my ketubah came before the IRS lien, right? So I would have a right to collect it. Except that I was mevateret on that lien because it was actually given the property. But now it turns out the property isn't here, so I'll get back my lien. So now I could try to recover it from the IRS.
And he's broke.
Yeah, he's broke. But I still would be able to go back and take it away from the people who took it from me. Because they're taking it from me saying, well, you don't have a lien for your ketuvah anymore. You already took this property. So now we can show that we were there before it was given to you as a property. If you now try to say, ah, but at least I should have my lien. Say, no, you already mochelet your lien because you took the property. So Rabbi Eliezer says, no. Why should we say that? We put it back to the way it was. So basically, forget about the matana and let her keep her lien, because the intent was not to weaken her position vis-a-vis the property, was to strengthen her position by actually giving it to her. So he thought that in giving it to her, at least she's got a chance of surviving the onslaught of the IRS. Lamaisa turned out that if we would stick to that, she would be in a worse position. Okay, so we give her back the original position. So now she can claim that her ketuvah's lien came before any other lien against this property. V'chachamim omrim. The Chachamim say, no, forget about it. Tikara ketuvata. Now, obviously, the lush of tikara ketuvata, as Rashbam points out, is lav dafka. But she was never mochelet the ketuvah. That's not the point. It was, why would she do that? And we're going to see later on, clearly, if the guy subsequently rebuilds himself and buys more property, she's vadai able to collect her ketuvah. The only issue over here is the particular lien that existed from her ketuvah against this, but not the actuality of the ketubah. So it doesn't mean, the lashon is certainly not, what it means is rip up the existing lien against these nechasim. Because remember, the ketubah says, the kanoiv da atida ni lemikne. It says beferish, that it's not only what's under my hands now. So that she wasn't mochelet, but she was mochelet the schus that currently existed before she got it as a present, now it's a present. So that element of the ketubah should be ripped up, because she ripped it up. Now let her stick with her gift. Oh, you're saying, but her gift was ripped away. Well, too bad. So now she's left bereft from either side. So ta'amoda matanata, v'nimtzeit, since that's all she's got is a matana that's now in the hands of the IRS, so nimtza karachat mikan omikan. So now she's basically bald from either side. That's the famous story of a guy who's got two wives. Gemara uses this lashon. He's got one wife who's a young chick. He's got this other wife who's an old lady. So the young chick doesn't like it that he's graying. So every gray hair she plucks out. The old wife doesn't like the fact that he looks younger than her. So every black hair, she picks out. Now it turns out that the guy's kerech, mikan or mikan. So that's what happens over here. That's the Gemara. That's what happens. Okay, but don't tell the only one that knows. So now the Chachomim say that therefore she remains basically without anything. The Omer Rabbi Yudah Anachtom, and all of this now is, remember, I mean, let's not forget where we're going. We're trying to bring a raya about what the din is of a gift that was not of a shchiv miras. We're going to bring the whole story now. Then we're going to go back and analyze what that says about the question that Rava raised. So Rabbi Yudah Anachtom says, you know, it was a maisa that actually happened to me, to my niece. My niece was also my daughter-in-law, because my son married my sister's daughter. And it was a maisa where Babat Achuti was also my kala, my daughter-in-law, and my son had given her the property. And mamish, this is what happened, that they went and they took it away from a Baal Chov. Uba ma'aseh lifnei ha-chachamim, v'yamru tikara ketuvata v'tamor ha-matnata v'nimtzeit karachat mikana mikana. They pask in that lamaisa, she gets nothing. Now, you see that the only issue over here is the fact that it was Yotzer Shtar Chov. Since it was Yotzer Shtar Chov, so the Matana ended up becoming Batel, so therefore she ends up losing it. But if it wouldn't be Yotzer Lav Shtar Chov, was it a gift or was it not a gift? It was a gift. So that's where Rava was questioning. Was it meant as a gift or was it meant as apotropos? But if it was meant as apotropos, the whole discussion is irrelevant because he never gave her anything. What you try to discuss the lien. So it must be halo yatza lav shtarchov. She would have been kena, right? Now you say, okay, but I mean, maybe the case was a shchiv mera. No, am I? Elaim a shchiv mera. You got to try to tell me why. Who says that this case has anything to do with the case of Rava? Rava's question was in the case where a bori does this, gives away all of his property to his wife. Maybe over here we're talking about a shchiv mera. That we know what the din is by a shchiv mera. Everybody agrees that by a shchiv mera, what the din would be. So ha'amrit lo asay al apotropos, and that din would for sure not make sense, right? Because by the shchiv mera there was not even a shaila. Rava was only asking what the din would be of bori. He says, can't be talking about a shchiv mera, because then it would go like no one. El alav v'bori, the only possible case is talking about a bori, and therefore she got the real gift, and that's the answer to Rava. Says the Gemara, not necessarily. What if it's talking about a shchiv mera, and the case is one of the cases that we said yesterday, that Bekulu, remember the Bekulu? So it said Bekulu Kanya. That was the machlokas that we had yesterday. Rav Avia, this is Rav Avira, Mishmei de Rava, this is Rava Zabaya. So Rav Avira, Mishmei de Rava said Bekulu Kani, except for an Ishe Etzel Achin and an Ishe Etzel Bnei Abal, right? Those were the two cases where it would still be a case of an apotropos, where he has sons from another wife, and he wants them to respect his current wife. So over there we understand that he was only doing this apotropos. But in a case where she was a grusha, or she was an arusa, I mean, maybe that's one of those cases. So we said in those cases, it did not mean apotropos, even though it was a shimira. So your proof goes out the window because we simply have insufficient information. You can't tell me it's a given that if the case was a shchiv mera, she would not have had a kinyan and therefore, of course, would not have lost the lien on her ketuvah. Because as Rav Avira himself explained in Rava, Rava agrees that there are plenty of cases of shchiv mera where it's really meant as a kinyan and not as an apotropos. Do you have any idea whether that was one of the cases? Did Rav Yehuda say that the kala was not an arusa? Maybe she was an arusa. So Mamela is Anagia, the whole thing is Anagia. So we still don't know. So Rav Avira Basbukila Bakula, Ravina, you want to say, well, maybe we don't go like Rav Avira. That's so fine. So Ravina said it was talking about Beishtar Rusav Ishtar Grusha. Also, so that case, they're also agreed that in that case there would be Kanu. Okay. Omer of Yezib Rabin Yumi, Omer of Nachman, Halacha. Lamaisa, that's how we paskin. She loses everything. Does that really make sense? That we should paskin that she loses everything? If you're paskin that she loses everything, What it means is that we don't look into the circumstances and say, do we not understand that the nature of the Matana was to enhance her position, and that was her das, and that she would never, et cetera, et cetera, that this is the intent. So you're saying, well, nobody said that. So what if nobody said that? There's an umdana. We very often will access an umdana to define what's going on. I mean, certainly any normal person would say that the only reason that she would be mochelet was because she's getting the actual thing, but if there's no matana, so then obviously she's not going to lose. So what you're saying when Reb Nachman paskins like that is lemeimer d'lo'ezer Reb Nachman batar umdana? So in other words, you're saying that Reb Nachman the Dayan, and we know there's plenty of cases where that's not true, Reb Nachman HaDayan said, well, the context is irrelevant, and she didn't say, you get what you get. This is what we understood happened. I mean, that's not true. V'atanya. Haresha halak benolim dinatei amim. We have a famous case. A guy's only son went overseas, and he gets a message that his son was killed. Okay? So he hears Shebet benol, and he goes ahead, and because of that, before he dies, he gives away his property to somebody else that he takes on as a surrogate son, or whatever, to his partner, or to the Gadas hospital. So whatever the case is over there. So it's clear that his intent was that since he doesn't have a son, he's giving away his property to a das. I mean, if he had a son, he wouldn't have, right? And sure enough, his son shows up. The din is, matana to matana. It's a good matana. Well, what do you mean it's a good matana? In matana to matana. Lo katvan. It's clear, even though he didn't say a word about it, maybe this was years later, every fool understands that the nature of the context of this gift is a man who feels that he has no heir. V'yomer Reb Nachman, Reb Nachman b'daf kapasik zek Reb Shimon ben Menasya, who holds you look at the umdana. So how can you tell me that in this case, the woman was mevateret, despite the fact it wasn't getting anything? Well, it doesn't make any sense. Says Gemara, it does make sense. Because shiny hatam, the nechala, the tepukala kala, the katvinu niyala lahanu nechas. The question over here is you're saying he analyzes the context. Absolutely, he does analyze the context. The context, of course, is fundamentally related to the psychology of the people that are involved. So Reb Nachman held that the psychology of a woman in such a position, where she's been given all of the property, is that she recognizes the risk. And then she understands that, well, you know, you can always end up losing what you're being given today. But it's kedai for me to take this because it immensely enhances my position, my gestalt, basically. That's what I care more about. This is my covet. People say, wow, he gave her everything. You know, it's unbelievable. He must really think she's a great businesswoman and a choshev and so on. Okay, so that's a risk. People risk a lot of things for these kind of positions. So, Mamela, it's understood. That would be like saying, well, you know, obviously the guy would never have quit his job at the Merrill Lynch if he thought that, you know, Lehman Brothers was going to be collapsing. No, Grace Gadula. That's what he wanted to do. So this is what she wanted to do.
He could have gone broke at the end also, and then she would have had nothing.
Yeah, exactly. So she's taking taking her chances. Right. It's never any guarantee. It's not. Hakotev nechasav lebanav. In a similar case over here, somebody gives over all of his property now to his children, and in the context of being kotev nechasav lebanav, he writes to his wife the right to some small piece of property. She gets a tiny share of the action over here. So it's katav liishto karka kosher. In that case, avdak tuvata. So she loses. Obviously, again, it does not mean avdak tuvata in the sense that if he ends up getting property against which she'll be able to collect the tuva later, that she's avdak tuvata. It means that she loses her current liens against the properties that were involved in this transaction. Says the why? Shum de katavla karka koshu avdak tuvata. I don't understand. Her ktuva may be 10 times the value of the karka that he's giving her. And you're saying that because she had a little piece of the action, so Mamela, she's saying, okay, you know what? This is my piece, and the others go to this son, and that piece goes to that son, and she's necha to the whole thing. And she's saying, look, if this is the way we're going to be mechalek, I'm never going to come back to take it away from them in court, and so on, it's theirs. Why? Because she gets less than the value of a ktuva, she'd be b'materet. Omar Rav says, Rav, well, you have to understand the Mishnah. The Mishnah must be talking about a case where she indicated that she was indeed willing to be mevateret on her lien. What would that be? It was Pitanga b'mezakela hen al yada. He put her into a leading position. So he has her do the actual chalipin, or the mais hakinyan. For them, she takes out her handkerchief. It's all very choshev. So she's handing out the property. So because she also took a piece of the action, and she indicated that she's happy with the position that she was given in the transaction, so that's the equivalent of saying, I'm not going to attack. Since I'm involved personally, and since at the same time I got something. So that little something is enough to shut you up. This, by the way, is done all the time in business. You give a guy a tiny piece of the action, even though he deserves 1,000 times more, you know. And then when it comes to sues, understand. So then why'd you accept the tiny piece? The guy can't come back and say, well, I figured better something than nothing, and I'll sue you later.
But the guy didn't have 20% before, and that was given 2%.
Oh, yeah, okay, that's true. But the psychology of it is rather, this is the psychology of it. Shmuel Amar, could be that in a case where you were mamish mechalik, even in business, it would help. You know, they made you the chashma one. Good luck. Shmuel Amar, Shmuel says, you don't have to go so far. You don't have to go that far. It could be mechalik lefaneach. It could be she's present, and this whole thing is being done, and the yishoteket. So the very fact that she's yishoteket, and she doesn't say, look, this is very nice, I appreciate the gift, but, you know, it's not nogea if I need to collect the ketuvah. So that shtika itself shows that she's necha to the arrangement. If she wouldn't have gotten something, so then you would say that there the umdana is, that the shtika is not to upset the Baal. So she could kind of nachas rocha siti lavali. I didn't want to get everybody upset at the time. Rabbi Yosef Ruchanina, amen? Ba'omer la tli karka zubik tuvatech, would Gufa be talking about, even if she wasn't there, even if she didn't take part of the action, but when he gave her the gift, he said to her, beferish, take this in lieu of your ketubah, and she didn't say anything, and that would be sufficient. Now, why would that be sufficient? Certainly wouldn't be sufficient for a regular Baal Chov. Now, things like these, any of these, not only this last one, would never be enough to change the status of a Baal Chov, of a regular person to whom you owe money. I mean, it's absolutely a joke, unless, of course, they sign off. Why in the world here would it be enough? It would be sufficient because mikulei ketuvah shanu kam. There's many issues that Chazal were mitaken to make it more difficult to collect a ketuvah than a normal chov in certain ways, where there were any indication. And the reason for this is because of tav lemeitav tandu lemeitav amalu. In other words, we recognize that women want to get married. We recognize that the complexity of the prenuptial agreements make it more difficult for people to get married. And that's basically what a ketuvah really makes every marriage into what modern marriages schlep around. And like the Gemara says in ketuvah, the let beit tigra. There's always a problem. When it comes to legal documents that are going to define a marriage, there's always issues. So that because of that, we wanted to standardize what essentially boils down to a very complex prenuptial agreement. So we standardized it with tada'i beit din. Obviously, you could go ahead and get your own lawyer and write up your own ketuvah. Okay? But because of the fact that we're forcing everybody into a mold of accepting this kind of complex responsibility, we also were makil in many ways for cases such as this one, where we make the shibud less than otherwise, so in other words, she won't be able to get from the same type of karkaot that a Baal Chov can get. Because we have two different things in mind. For a Baal Chov, we'd like you to be able to collect beninus, because we want to make it easier to get a loan. But we don't feel that we need to make it easier for a woman to get married once we're giving her a ketuvah. We do need to make it easier for a woman. There are many things that we do in order to make marriage more attractive to women. But once we've protected her rights, we're not concerned that women won't get married because of the fact that in the event that they have to actualize their ketuvah, they won't get the best quality property. And so that we figure is not going to be an issue. This is one of the kulei ketuvah. So basically, a ketuvah is a very delicate balancing act. We're putting the men in a tough position, but we also need to do something to make the women satisfied. And that's exactly what every prenuptial agreement is dealing with, the issues of ketuvah. So this is one of the kulei ketuvah. Now, the problem is that we also learn that Rabbi Yossi Omer, im kibla aleha, now this is the Rabbi Yossi who seems to be responding to the Tanna Kamma. And he says, well, if she was mekabelet on herself, so why would he have to write that she gets also a piece of the property. Once she's make up all it on herself, that's enough, no? So then, why did he have to give her a piece of property? It's enough that she says, you know what? Very nice that you're giving out the property to the children. That's fine. I'm mekabel on myself not to go in after this property and attack it in the event of a divorce or your death. So wait, what do you mean? Why did? Who said that we're talking about that she said that? What's Rabbi Yossi saying? Well, if she said that, then why would you have to give her anything? What do you mean, if she said that? We just had three shitot that said that she didn't do anything of the sort. Rav said he was mezakeleh, now yeah, that was enough. Shmuel said you only need that. It's mechalek lefanea. And Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Hanina said only that he told her, take it, and she took it. And that was enough. Rabbi Yossi said, well, if she agreed, she didn't agree. Nobody said she agreed. So you see from Rabbi Yossi, who's standing right there and arguing with the Chachamim, that obviously the Chachamim were saying, in an event that she agreed, it would only be enough where you also gave her something. To which Rabbi Yossi says, well, I mean, if she agreed, why do you have to give her anything? But that shows that all of the above pshatim were wrong. Because they all assumed that she certainly didn't verbally agree. They were trying to figure out what about the context makes it the equivalent of an agreement. But now you're saying she agreed? So apparently, Michlal de Tana Kavasava, that you need Ktiva and Kabbalah. It's not enough that it was Kotevla. She has to actually be Bevateret. Boy, Vichitema, maybe you'll say, oh, well, maybe we're misreading. Maybe, actually, this is not a new Shita. Maybe this is all one sheet. It's all Rabbi Yossi. So that the Reisha, who's coming now to tell us the Chiddush, that if you write and only write, that would be enough. And now Rabbi Yossi explains, and he's the Mandi Omer of the Tanakhama, and Rabbi Yossi explains further, but the need to give her is only where she was a Mekabela. But if she was Mekabela, then you don't have to write her. It's not that he's responding to some putative Tanakhama and saying, I don't understand you. If she was Mekabelet, then why write? He's saying something factual. Where did I just say that you have to give her something where she didn't write that she accepted it? But she didn't accept it. But if she accepted it, then you don't have to give her any part. No, you can't say that, says the Gemara. Because Vatanya, Lamaisa, in a Braita, we see very clearly that Omer Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda says over here, where does the Tanakhama say what the Tanakhama says? And a review is coming now to be Masbir, the sheet of the Tanakhama over here in a Braita. So he says, when do we say that if you were cut of Lakarka Koshu of Daktuvata? Only in a case Shaitasha, where she was physically present and she was Mekabelet Aleha, in the presence of the people that were getting all of these gifts. But Haitasham, Veloki Blalev, she was just Shoteket. I don't give a hang what the case was, whether she gave it out, she made the kinyan. None of that is relevant. If she didn't say Beferish that she was Mekabelet, or for that matter, if she was in another room and they came out and they told her what they did, and she said that's fine, but she wasn't present, it wouldn't be enough. Lo, in that case, she doesn't, Avdakto Vadat, she did not lose the lien on her. Because in all such cases, she could say, wait a minute, after the fact, I'm going to complain. I mean, I might say, nah, chasruach after the husband. You know, if it'll come to court, it'll come to court. And I'll discuss it with Daniyanim, but I need to fight it out now. That's all that I meant. So now, if Rabbi Yehuda is coming to be mazvid at Tanakhama, and he's saying that it's clearly referring to a case of Kabbalah and only a case of Kabbalah. So that basically blasts the three shitot that we had before, where it's talking about where, according to Rav, that she was the one who was Bechaleket, or according to Shmuel, you don't even need that, she was present, but she wasn't Mekabelet anything, or the case where he said, and you take this for your ketuvah, but none of that's true. None of that would be enough. Rabbi Yehuda says Beferish. What are we arguing with Rabbi Yehuda? If it is being Masbid the Tanakhama, so you're all wrong. Basically, you're all wrong. Ooh, that's true. There's no way out of that. Tiyufta de kula, tiyufta. That shows that all of the approaches that we had are indeed no good. Now, Lamaisa, they may be no good in the Tanakhama. That's true. But in Rabbi Yossi, how about in Rabbi Yossi? Rabbi Yossi is saying, well, if Lamaisa, she was Mekabelet, why would you need to give it a piece of property, right? Okay, so that means according to Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yossi is saying that's all very nice for the Tanakhama that you actually need Kabbalah. Not like Divrei Rav and Shmuel, etc. But I hold, if she actually was Mekabelet, then of course the whole thing is ridiculous. You wouldn't even have to give her anything. Which means that Aliba Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yossi is now the one who's saying what we thought the Tanakhama was saying. You see? Rabbi Yossi is saying, if Lamaishi was Mekabelet, so then you don't need anything else. Therefore, I say it would have been enough without Mekabel. So now we're back to Rabbi Yossi. Okay, let's have the same machlokas that we had in the Tanakhama in Rabbi Yossi. That's the question. And that's what the Gemara is about, to take for granted. This is the Rashbam brings, this is the way Rashi understood the thing. So that means now, Rava, when Rava comes to Rav Nachman, he seems to be saying something crazy, unless you understand that, what I just said. He says to Rav Nachman, well, we got ourselves three pshatim. We have Rav's pshat, we have Shmuel's pshat, we have Yosef Rav Hanina's pshat. Who do you hold by? He said, what? We just showed all the pshatim are wrong. What do you mean, who do I hold by? It's a tiyufta. You have a fair shabrita that they're all wrong. So obviously what it meant was that Rava knew that Rav Nachman paskim like Rav Yosef, not like the Tanakhama, and that be'etzim you don't need Kabbalah. So now he wanted to know, okay, so what's the logic behind it? Are you going like Rav? That which would mean that it had to be where she was Michalek, she was the one who did the Maisa Kinyan. Or do you hold like Shmuel would be enough? Or do you hold that you need to say, take this in lieu of your ketubah? What's the case? So Rav Nachman said to him, Omar Leh, and again, this is Rashi's approach, Omar Leh Sha'ani Omer, I, Rav Nachman, hold like my Rebbe, Shmuel. Shmuel said that as long as she was part of a chaluka, that's enough. And therefore, the logic is that kivan she'asa'ah shutaf bein habanim, if he made her part of what went on over here, that's what Rabbi Yossi held, is that avda ketuvata, and that enough was the understanding that this would be the life of the family. They get this, and I get that. Itmanami om Rabbi Yossi bar min yumi om Rabbi Nachman, kivan she'asa'ah shutaf bein habanim, and she doesn't say anything, she's part of it, avda ketuvata. Now, all of this, again, we understand, was talking about a guy who's being mechale his property. So he's a shchiv meira. Again, boy Rava. So what about this case? In a case where this was being done by a bori, what would be the case? Do we say she was mechalet there too? I mean, mi amrina b'shchiv meira hu, the case over here, I understand, she's thinking to herself, look, it ain't very likely he's going to be getting any new money coming in, right? I mean, he's probably not going to get off this bed. So she knows the yada deletle. She knows she's not going to be able to collect her ketubah. She goes along with this. So it means that she's mochalet. But by a bori. Bori, she's thinking to herself, no, now's the time to make a tumult. You know, when he buys his next piece of property, I mean, I won't have to make a tumult. If Lamaishi doesn't have, he'll never have another piece of property, I'll make a tumult. But, I mean, over there, she doesn't feel, you know, this is my chance. It's forever hold your peace. Why forever hold your peace? It may not be nogeya. What am I going to make a fuss over it for? So maybe over there, Bibori Sover Hadakani. He's going to get some property, but this is not the end of his life. I mean, he's giving away what he currently owns. A big deal. Odilma, or do we say, I mean, look, you know, a bird in hand is what she would have felt. And so, Mamela, there should have been some discussion right now of, now, hold on, what do you think you're doing? So maybe she also would be exactly the same thing. He doesn't have other property now, so maybe Rava would have relied on her needing to react even now. That's not clear. So we don't, Rava doesn't know whether the intent of the Mishnah is to limit it to Shlimira, or it would even be a bari. So we've had this question of the difference between bari and shchiv meira already in three separate cases. The original mechanisms, the additional case of where we have an umdan of apotropos, and now in this case of mochelet, the lien on a ketuvah. Fine, but if she's mochelet on the lien, then she's mochelet. What don't you like? Well, that's exactly what we're discussing. The Tanakhama says, you're right, it's not clear. She has to be Mekabelet. Rabbi Yossi says the context is sufficient, either like Rav or Shmuel or like Rav Hanina. I mean, ilu hayita sham, hayita yochola agira da'atcha. But right now you're arguing with the table around which are sitting people that it's hard to argue. That's because she wasn't mochelet her lien. Over here to her children, or to his children, at this point where she got a piece, she was. So now, Ahudi Amar upaga lebrat, v'tilta le'itit beperi. There was another case, an actual case. Guy had two daughters and a wife. So he says, look, I'm going to give away half of my property to daughter one, half of my property to daughter two, and I'm giving a third, but not really, a third in Perot I'm giving to my wife. But she's not going to really own the actual property, but she can get basically a third of the Perot.
Now,
yeah, so now we think that what that means is that it's a right to collect Perot by giving her a schus in the karka to collect Perot, in which case the Perot are actually now mechubar lekarka. Lamaisa, at the end of the sugya, it's going to turn out that that wasn't what happened. He was talking about Perot that were not mechubar lekarka, and it was actually, there's, the whole thing was sort of a fake. He was, you know, he's using this word a third as if she's getting a third. She wasn't getting anything. And the fact is she wasn't getting any schus to the karka at all. The Perot were in a silo. You know, but okay, fine.
They were a little rough.
Okay, so Ikla Reb Nachman Lasura. So now, the Maisa was that Reb Nachman came to Sura and Ola Gabi Reb Chista. So he comes now. The Reb Chista, Amar Leki, I gav the Mai. So what would be in this case? How exactly to be done this? So they wanted his professional opinion about such a case. Is this considered to be the equivalent of the case we had before? Or since he isn't giving you anything except in Perez, it doesn't count?
Now, Lamai said that correct Gersa probably, as it appears in a number of other places, in Ksuvas and Shvuas and Sukkah, it's not that he went to Rav Chista, rather than it should say, Ol Ligabe, they came to him, and it's Rav Chista and Rabba Bar Avuna, and then Bo Mine, the two of them asked him, what would be the din? And then it should say, Amar Lahu, he said to them.
He said, what's the problem? My Rebbe Shmuel said, Amar Shmuel, afilo ikna la'ela dekel echad l'perotav avdak tuvata, that he assumed, like we did, case was over here, that there was a schus in the karka. So he says, Shmuel says, even if you only gave her the rights to the peros of a dekel, which is a step away from schus in the actual karka to the peros, the schus in the dekel, which itself only has temporary zechuyas in the karka, to be able to get the peros of a dekel. And nonetheless, Shmuel said it's also considered to be a proper chaluka, because she is getting a piece. And that schus is a lien, and it's a piece, and she's mivateret. Omar lei, so Chista said to him, hold on, that's not the same. He didn't realize that the mistake over there, we were talking about Telushin, Paris Telushin. So Omar lei, but Shmuel only said that because she's getting a right in the actual property for the payroll that will come. And we've seen many, many times that that represents an actual right in real estate, which is different than just giving a piece of metaltalin. So it's, in this case, for all intents and purposes, he's giving her a basket full of peros. Are you ready to say that that also is a vitor? Haka, over here, it's mamish perot that he gave her. That's perabi almohu. Amarle, what? You mean, you're talking about metaltalin? You're asking me about, it never occurred to me you're asking about metaltalin. Obviously not. Metaltalin kamra. But metaltalin vade loka. I mean, I'm certainly not going to tell you that she's going to be vater because he gives her metaltalin. That's absurd. Ahudi amalu, another case where somebody said, tlata lavrat, vtlata lavrat, vtlata la itat. One third to one daughter, one third to another daughter, one third to my wife. And then what happens is that the daughter predeceases him, which means that he ends up being Yoresh, the property that he had given to his daughter. So now the Shaila is, since that property is back to where it was, does she regain now the lien that she had on it? Or do we say, look, vis-a-vis this property, she was already mevataret. So what's nafkamina, whether it belongs to the bat or went back to him? So that's the question. So the Repapa of Amelo Shakla Ella Tilta. The Repapa held that all she has is the third that the Baal gave her. She can't come back now to collect a lien on this property. Omar Le Rav Kahana, it's ridiculous. This property is not an entity. This property is an abstraction. In other words, what you said was this property that has been given to the daughter is not what you're going to collect. Fine. Okay, now there's another property. It happens to be the same particular entity, but legally speaking, there's another property that this guy now owns. It happens to be that he got it through an inheritance. And if he had bought it from somebody, what, there's something magic about the particular entity? We're talking about an abstraction of a vitor on a gift. Now we have another property. That abstractly is a different thing. So if he had gone out and bought a piece of property, you're going to say that because she was mevateret on a lien, therefore she was mevateret on her ketubah. Nobody holds that. She can always collect the ketubah. She just couldn't collect the lien. But, I mean, he always wrote her, dekanoi v'da'atid anila mikne. So I get a lien, she says, I get a lien on anything that he bought. He just bought this property through the death of his daughter. So why in the world would it say, since this happens to be exactly the same field that she was mevateret, that's ridiculous. So she gets now a new lien. So ilu hadakani, if he had gone now and bought a piece of property, milo shakla, she wouldn't have been able to collect that in her ketuva. So given ilu hadakani shakla, hashanami shakla. What in the world is the difference? It's a childish misconception that there's something magical about what happened to have been the same property. It's totally irrelevant. And therefore she could certainly collect her ketuva out of what is, for all intents and purposes, a property that he just bought off of the free market. Boy, Rava. Bebori. But anyway, getting back to the raya, again, for what Rava wanted to know, clearly, time of the yatzah lav shtarchov, a lo yatzah lav shtarchov, it would be a perfectly good matana, and she would own it. Now, b'mayim is certainly not a shchiv mira. Is ilay me b'shchiv mira? Harmed lo asay al apotropos. Ela lav bibori, not necessarily. Lo lam b'shchiv mira. Rabbi Avira could be talking about bekulo. Ravina could be talking about even according to him, b'ishto arusav, b'ishto grusha, where he agreed that it would be a gift under those circumstances, not apotropa. Omer of Yezba ben Yumi, Omer of Nachman, halacha tikara ketubata v'ta'amod amatnata. So what, you're saying that she certainly didn't mean that in accepting the gift. But Tanya Reshalach beno l'medinata yam v'shama shemeid beno v'yabad v'katav kodech asav la'achirim v'yachar kach ba beno nonetheless matnato matana. Reb Shimon ben Asya omer, no, it's a umdana. Ein matnato matana she'ilu haya yodea shebno kayam lo katva. So obviously we do hold of umdana. Shani hatam. We do hold of umdana. This is the umdana. The nechale, the tepika lakala, to katvin ne'ala lakula nechasim. Tzanata. Akutev nechasev libana vekatav lishto karka koshu. Avdak tuvata. Wow. Bishum dekatav lakarka koshu avdak tuvata. Omrav. Well, obviously there's some additional information here. Must be talking about b'mizakala emayada. Mizakela emayada. Shmuel Aber, you don't need even that. V'mechalek lefanei avishoteket is enough. Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Chanina Omer, bo'omer latli karka zu b'ktuvateich, and it's all mikule ktuva shanuka. It's not. Rabbi Yosef Omer, im kibla aleha, so what do you need that he should be kotevla? Ava bishaluka tavla avda ketuvata. So apparently, since it's a tkuvata the Tanakama, michlal the Tanakama savar, that you need both Ktiva and Kabbalah boy. And therefore all three approaches are wrong. V'chitema, this is not another Shita, Kula Reb Yosi. And he's just saying that if Lamaisa, there was also Kabbalah, you can forget about all the Tzna'im and the Reisha. But that's not true. Because V'atanya Am Reb Yoda, Eimatai, where did the Tanakama say that this is good? Sha'itasham v'kibla aleh. Avalaitasham v'lo kibla aleh. Or even if she was v'kabbalat aleh in the other room, V'lo aita sham, lo avda ktuvata, she could say, nachad ruach asiti levali, tiyufta dekulo tiyufta. Omalai Rav Reb Nachman, so now that we paskin like Reb Yosi anyway, and that brings us back to where we were before, what is the logic that had originally been applied to the Tanakama that can now be applied to Reb Yosi? We have Rav's approach, we have Shmuel, we have Reb Yosi, Reb Chanina, mar maisvirale, omar le, I basically look like Shmuel. Shani omer kivan sha'asa'a shutaf bein abanim avda ketuvata. Itmar nami am Rav Yezba minyumi am Rav Nachman, kivan sha'asa'a shutaf bin abanim, avda ketuvata. Boy, Rava, bebari, hech, mi amrina b'shchiv mirahu, di yada deletle, v'kamachla, avu bebari, she always figures, ada kani, o dilma, hashtam yet letle, take her. Udi omar lehu, pagalevrat, u pagalevrat, v'tilt ala'itet, bebari, ikla Rav Nachman l'sura, so ola gabi Rav Chista, omar lehi, ki agav namai, omar lehi, hachi omar Shmuel, אפילו לא יקנלה, אלא דקל אחד לפירותיו, עבדה כתובתה. אומר לי, אמר די אומר שמואל, הטם דאקתי לו בגוף הדיארה? אוכל פירו הוא. אומר לי, are you talking about מטלטלי? מטלטלי ודאי לא כאמינה. אהו די אומר לו, טלטל לברד, וטלטל לברד, וטלטל לאיתת. שכיבה, now, before, חד מבנתיה, before him, מבנתי. Sover of Papila Meimar, Lo Shakla, Lo Tilta, she's already Mochelet. Omalai Rav Kana, what do you mean Mochelet? Ilo Hadakani, Milo Shakla. Given the Ilo Hadakani Shakla, so Ashton Hami Shakla.